Welcome to OU.org and www.etshalom.com. My name is Yitzchak Etshalom, and it's my pleasure to be studying Sefer Shmuel with you. Today we're going to study Shmuel Bet Perek Chaf, as David has successfully been returned from his exile after the death of Avshalom. Yehuda and Yisrael are fighting over who has the greatest claim to the king. In any case, he is back, and let's recall that he named Amasa, his cousin, who had been Avshalom's chief of staff, as his own chief of staff in place of Yoav, and now we find out that the rebellion is not over. V'sham nikra ish Belial, u'shmo Sheva ben Bichri ish Mini. So there was somebody who was there, who was a lowlife, whose name was Sheva ben Bichri. He's from Sheva Binyamin. Sheva Binyamin, of course, has the most to lose here. He repeated what seems to be sort of an aphorism. We have no portion with David. We have no inheritance, no legacy with Ben Yishai. Ish lo halav Yisrael. He's calling for a secession from the kingdom. So the entire army followed David. So the army of Yisrael followed David, and the army of Yehuda stayed with David from the Arden all the way to Yerushalayim. This is as the rebellion is going on, as this call of Sheva ben Bichri is going on, is as David is returning to his house. He came back to his home. So the first question is, what's he going to do with these 10 women, who he had, the 10 concubines who he had left to guard the house, who Avshalom had violated? Right? Name Beit Mishmeret. He put them into a guardhouse, Vayichal Kalem, and he took care of feeding them and committed to feeding them for the rest of their lives. Valehem Lovai. He never had relations with them again. Vatienat Srot Ad Yom Mutana Almanut Chayut. And they were tied, as it were, to David, a living widows. This is what we refer to as an aguna, somebody who cannot have relations with her husband. In one case, he's disappeared, refuses to give her, or he's separated from her. On the other hand, cannot be with anybody else. But these are women who had already been with the king, and then have been violated by Avshalom, and now they can't be with anyone else. In any case, we go back to our rebellion. He said, now it's time to go to battle. Call, summon together the army of Yehuda in 3 days and stay here. And so he went out to call Yehuda. And he delayed. He did not come by the 3 days. So now David is wondering what's happened to Amasa, who he has to be a little bit concerned about Amasa's loyalties. So David sent to Avishai, who has always been loyal to him, Sheva Nichri will hurt us worse than Avshalom, because if so, it's not family. Take your servants, because perhaps he's found some fortress cities to go into, and he's going to hide there, and we will not be able to find him. We've got to get him and kill him quickly. So all of these loyal soldiers of David went after Avishai. They left Yerushalayim to chase Sheva. Remember that big rock in Givon near the pool where they had wrestled. And here's Amasa, who has come. He's been trying to gather all the Yehuda troops, and now he sees that Avishai is out. Yoav was out with Yavishai. He was not in charge. And he was belted with his uniform. And he had a sword that was tied close to his hips. It was in its sheath. Right, and he went out. And remember, they are cousins. And Yoav said to Amasa, how are you? Vatochez yad yamin Yoav bizkan Amasa lin shoklo. So Yoav took out his right hand and grabbed the beard of Amasa to give him a kiss. This is the scene that we saw earlier with Avner and Asael, and later on with Yoav and Avner. Amasa lo nishmar b'cher v'asher b'yad Yoav. He wasn't paying good attention. He's not really a good soldier. Not paying good attention to the sword that was in Yoav's hand. Vayakehu b'alachomesh. And the same way that he killed Avner, this is how Yoav killed Amasa. He took the sword and put it through his chest. Vayishpoch me'av arza, and his gut spilled out. V'lo shanalo. He didn't have to hit him twice. Vayamot, and he died there. Yoav Avishai achiv radav achrei Sheva ben Bichri. Now Yoav and Avishai chased after Sheva. They had gotten rid of the competition. But more directly, they had gotten rid of somebody who they felt was perhaps not loyal to David. First of all, he had sided with Avshalom and had been Avshalom's chief of staff. And this is a move that Yoav had made earlier with Avner. It is possible to argue that Yoav's murder of Avner in Paragimel was an act of revenge. And the text says, B'dam asel achiv. But here it's not an act of revenge. One could make it small-minded and say he was angry because Amasai had been already placed him. But I think that we should attribute to Yoav far more nobler and far-sighted motivations, in that he sees in both the case of Avner and in the case of Amasa, David, in trying to bridge the gap and bring unity to the shattered nation, has signed a treaty with someone who's a sworn enemy and who can't be trusted. And in the case of Avner, and that's what he said to David, after all, he's just here to spy and to find out what you're doing. And in the case of Amasa, Yoav took action. So one of the soldiers stood over the dead body of Amasa, and he said, anybody who supports Yoav and anybody who supports David, follow Yoav. So he immediately aligned Yoav with David again. And in the meantime, Amasa was rolling in his own blood. And they saw that everyone was standing there to watch him. So he pushed him off from the road into the field so people wouldn't watch. It's a disgrace. And he threw a garment over him. When he saw that everyone who was coming there was stopping to look at his body, this was disgraceful. So he did it to protect the kavod of Amasa, who was dying. And once he was pushed off of the field, into the field, everyone then immediately ran after Sheva, and so you could argue that the soldier pushed him off the road wasn't doing it to protect his dignity, but simply to get the distraction out of the way. He ran quite a bit north to Avela, which maybe is the Avela in the Jordan Valley, but likely further north. And and the whole army chased after him. So they went to Avel Beit Ma'acha, and they surrounded the city. And they built up a ramp around the city so that they could enter. And it was on the ramparts, on the outside of the wall. And so all of Yoav's men are trying to find ways to destroy the wall and come into the city. In the meantime, this is an innocent city. And this is the third of the wise women of Sefer Shmuel. We have Abigail, then we had the Isha Chachama from Tekoan, Perek Yudalad, and now the Isha Chachama in Avel Beit HaMa'achat. She calls out, Shimu Shimu, she says, listen to me. Imrunal Yoav, Krav on Hena Vadabrai Lacha. Tell Yoav to come and I want to speak to him. This is on the other side of the wall. Yoav is on the outside, she's on the inside. Vayikrav Ileha, he came close, Vatomer HaIsha, Ata Yoav, Vayomer Ani. Right? They've got the identity clear. He said, listen to me. He said, I'm listening. This is what they will say. The question has been asked here. We are with you. We are part of your group. We're on the same side. And you're trying to destroy a city in Israel. Ir ve'em b'Yisrael. Why do you want to swallow up God's inheritance? In other words, she's accusing Yoav of going to war against her city. He says, God forbid him. I don't want to destroy, I don't want to swallow up. That's not what it is. In other words, they saw Yoav and all his men coming and suddenly surrounding a city and trying to break through the walls, and they built a ramp around it. That's what her claim is. He says, that's not what's going on. Ki ish mehar Ephraim Sheva b'mnichrishmo. There's a man from Har Ephraim, Sheva b'nyamin, whose name is Sheva b'nichri. Nasaya do b'melech b'david. He has lifted his hand. He's caused rebellion against David Tnu oto levado, just hand him over, ve'alcham me'al ha'ir, and I'll leave the city. Va'tomar yishal yo'av, hine rosho mushlach elacha barachoma. And so the woman said, you just wait, behold, I'm going to have his head thrown over. Now, the woman's motivation here is simply that Yoav is a fierce fighter. And Yoav's men are fierce fighters. And if they get into the city, there's no telling what's going to happen. She wants to keep them out at any cost. So what does she do? She came, and in some wise way that we will never know, somehow she convinced them to kill this interloper. And they cut his head off. And she threw the head over. And then Yoav blasted the shofar, again like we heard with Avshalom. Avshalom is dead, Shem Nichri is dead. And they all left the city alone. He came back to Yerushalayim. Everyone went home, he went back to Yerushalayim, the war is over, everything's fine, Shem Nichri has been killed. And this woman saved the city with her wisdom. And now we get a mini description of David's cabinet. Yoav, again, has been restored as the chief of staff. Unayav ben Yehoda al Kriti v'al Pliti. In charge of that strike force, the Kriti and Pliti, is Benayav ben Yehoyada, who will later become the chief of staff under Shlomo. V'adoram al Hamas, this Adoram is in charge of the taxes. V'yoshafat ben Achilud HaMazkir, he's the secretary. Ushva Sofer, he is the court scribe. Sadok v'Aviatar Kohanim, they are the Kohanim of David. V'gam Ira haya Iri haya Kohen David. And we find out that there's another character who we hear very little bit about here, but there's more about him in Divrei Hayamim, who is also a Kohen of David. In any case, we have completed now the final rebellion against David, the rebellion of Shev ben Bichri, and now we are ready to move towards really what is the end of the Sefer, which is Perak Chaf Aleph, which is the story of the Givonim and the children of Shaul. Shmuel, Perek Chaf Bet, which is Shirat David, and we'll talk, as promised, about Shirat in general and Shirat in Sefer Shmuel in particular. Perek Chaf Gimel, which is a summary of some of the other wars that happened under David, and Perek Chaf Dalet, which is the culmination when David finally purchases Goren Haravna HaYevusi, later becomes Mekom HaMikdash. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.